Reformed Church.
If that's God, what we were just saying on Wednesday, I just wanted to expound a little bit on this from a visual standpoint, just so that you understand it. And not that you didn't understand on Wednesday, but I like to, like, okay, go it over in my head and see, like, a visual for it. So, you know, God, and then people understand that that God's almighty in his power and in his authority. So he has all power, all authority to do anything. And if it is true, if it really were just left up to God's power and authority, he could do anything at all. There would be no end to what God could do. And that wouldn't even matter whether it was moral or not, because all, and I, hold on with me on that, but if it was just left up to his power and authority, he could do anything at all. The thing that we were talking about on Wednesday, which a lot of Christians don't understand this, is that I had posed the question, is God ever unjust? And I know that every Christian, right? I don't think you would be a Christian if you didn't answer this question correctly, that of course, every Christian would say, no, God would never be unjust. He's always just. Now, I also explained that I differ in the opinion of a lot of Christians. I'm not saying at this church, but you know, generally speaking, I differ in that I believe that God can't be unjust, because the Bible says that it's impossible for God to lie, and that word means he's not able to lie. If you actually look at the Greek, it literally means he's not able to lie. It means inability. And also the Bible says, Paul told Timothy, that when we're faithful, or when we're faithless, or when we're unfaithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Cannot means not able also. Different word, but it means not able. He's not able to deny his nature, his qualities. But that aside, I was just trying to even push that aside and just go with what Christians believe traditionally, and that is that people believe that God could choose to be unjust, but he just never will. All right? So at the end of the day, whether you have a God that can't be unjust or you have a God that never will be unjust, you're still left with the same just God, right, at the end of the day. Right? And I'm not saying that doesn't make a difference, but let's just go with what Christians traditionally believe. If at the end of the day, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never will be unjust, he's always just, what this still does is, though, it still puts boundaries to what God will use his power for. So despite he has all power and authority, there are only certain things, if this dry erase marker will work, there are only certain things that God will ever do, right? Because if he chooses to be just, then that excludes a lot of things that he otherwise could do, right? Because you have all this stuff out here. This is injustice out here. And in this circle is justice. Justice is a finite quality, if you understand what I'm saying. Justice is a very specific set of qualities. It only includes certain things, right? Like if you steal and kill, and right, that's unjust, right? And then just would be only certain things. You can't just do anything and still call yourself just, right? Everyone would agree with that. You can't just do anything at all and still call yourself just. You could call yourself just if you just do the right thing, right? And that's why I was telling you that even for a Christian that says, you know, I believe he could choose to be unjust, but I believe, though, that he just chooses to be just, that still severely limits what God can do if he does choose to be just. Okay? For instance, here's the way I see it. Well, this is really the truth of it. Let's say there's two cars in front of me, right? And one of the cars in front of me only goes up to 60 miles an hour. If I choose that car, I'm limited to 60 miles an hour, right? Now, did I choose the vehicle? Of course I chose the vehicle. I could have chose one that maybe went faster or slower, but I chose the one that only goes up to 60 miles an hour, right? If you choose that vehicle, you're limited to what that vehicle can do. Justice is the vehicle that God has chosen. He's chosen to be just according to traditional Christianity, which means he's limited to justice. Now, it may be by his choice, but he's still limited in what he can do to justice. That's the vehicle he chose. He can only go up to the extent or to the perimeters of justice. So God's authority and power has nothing to do with what God's in his acts, what he will do or what he can do. All his power and his authority, they have to stay within the realm of justice, okay? Anything he uses his authority for has to be in these perimeters. Anything he uses his power for has to be within that perimeter as well. And that's why I say that when you say that God is never unjust and never will be, you're limiting what he can do, therefore. And I understand, I mean verbally, you're limiting in your opinion of what God can do. God, by his justice, because he is just, he's limited by his own justice. He's limited in what he can do. And this is why, this was my explanation to you as, because in traditional Christianity, when it's like, well, God can do anything, God can do anything, God can do anything, they don't see that perimeter of justice, that God has limited himself to justice. And because he's limited himself to justice, that's why he had to take such a painful route. An almighty God had to take such a painful route to save us, had to take such a painful route to provide for us. This is why you can't just be healed at the snap of God's fingers, because the wages of sin is death. That payment of death, which includes sickness and suffering and disease, that has to be fulfilled. That's a payment that has to be fulfilled. If we have sinned, which all have, then suffering has to be fulfilled up to the point of death, of that, you know, breathing your last. That has to be fulfilled. And this is, why would God, who's almighty and have all authority, why did he go through such a painful route to heal us? Why did it have to be that by Jesus' wounds we were healed? Why did it have to be that through his death of the cross that we were given eternal life? Why did God, almighty God, who the church says can do it any way he pleases, which is not true, remember, he has to stay within the realm of justice because he's limited himself, okay? But that's why he went through such a painful route to get these things to us. The route that God chose, as painful as it was to provide for us, reveals in and of itself that he can't do it just any way. God's options were limited. By who? By me? By you? No, by himself. His options were limited. We don't see that as the church, though. God's options were limited. Because even as much as God loves us, and we teach at this church, right? Jesus gave us everything, you know, but you got to believe in Jesus to receive, whether that's salvation or whether that's anything in our life, you got to believe in Jesus to receive these things. That's why when Jesus would heal someone, for instance, he would say, your faith has made you well, right? In other words, it came through faith. It didn't just happen by a snap of a finger. So we teach that, but still, even us, we should ask ourselves, well, why do you have to believe on it? If God loves people, why didn't he just force it on them? And people will say, well, because God is a gentleman. That's not true. That's not in the Bible, though, okay? And let me tell you why that's not true. If you saw someone standing in the middle of a road and a car was coming, would you not just force them out of the road if you were a gentleman? Or would a gentleman just wait there and say, well, hey, would you like me to push you out of the road? Oh, no thanks. And then you just left them there? Is that what you would do as a gentleman? No. This concept of God sees a dying world and just says, no, I'm a gentleman. I'll just sit here, you know, folding my hands. That's not why they're suffering in the world because God is a gentleman. They're suffering in the world because God cannot do any more than he's done if he chooses to be just. And I'm only using that if he chooses to be just for the church's sake right now. But if he chooses to be just, he's put a perimeter on what he can do, therefore, within that realm of justice. And within that realm of justice does not include just snapping your finger and making people's suffering go away, because the Bible says the only just way to communicate things to us is by the propitiation of Jesus through faith in that propitiation. That's what Romans 3 says, that he might be just. That's why God chose to do it that way, that he might be just. So that what that means is the only way for God to heal you, provide for you, save you, keep you protected, and yet stay in this sandbox here of justice is for Jesus to have provided it and you to believe it as your consent to God. Faith is your consent to God that says, Lord, I know I can't receive on my own merit and you still be just. So that guy over there, Jesus, I consent to receive through his mediation. Boom. Now God says, okay, he fulfilled the death that you were owed, and you trust in it, now you can receive. He took wounds that you were owed, therefore you can be healed. He took the punishment that you were owed, and therefore what? Now there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You see what I'm saying? He had to do it a right way. The wages of sin is death. If God wants to stay in the sandbox of justice, he's got to work within those perimeters. God can't just do anything if he chooses to be just. The idea of an unlimited God is not so, even for the church that believes that he will always be just and will never choose to be unjust. In his acts, in what he does, he's limited in what he can do if he wants to say injustice. If he wants to pick the car that only goes 60 miles an hour, he's limited to 60 miles an hour. He may have chose the car, but he's limited to 60 miles an hour if he chose that vehicle. And if God chooses the vehicle of justice, he is only able to do what is within the realm of justice. I hope you see that what I'm saying right now, this is biblical common sense. I'm not saying it's being presented the way you heard it before. That just makes sense. Justice isn't just everything. And if God chooses to be just, he can't just do anything. Right? You have to see that. God's working within confines here. Okay? He's working within confines, but we don't see that. And that's why I'll leave you with this. A God that doesn't work within any confines whatsoever, right? Including justice. That doesn't work within any confines whatsoever. Why would he take such a painful route to save us? And on top of that, why do you have to believe in Jesus to get saved or anything like that? God sees the whole world standing in the middle of the road with the car coming. Why don't he just run and just grab everybody and push them out of the way? You understand? Like, why do they have to believe? Doesn't make any sense for a God that has no confines. The Bible teaches that God has confines because, as I said to you on Wednesday, while the Bible will talk about all of God's power, infinite power and infinite authority, the Bible does not describe our God as a God that has infinite characteristics, and that is just the truth. Your God does not have infinite characteristics. He has certain characteristics which confines him by himself. He confines himself, okay, not us, to work within the realm of justice. And that's why Romans 3 explains salvation the way it does. It says, God did, and I really will stop with this. Romans 3, this is a paraphrase of Romans 3, but read it for yourself and see if this is not correct. Romans 3 explains, this is how God did it, okay? He sent Jesus as a propitiation by his blood to make up an appeasing for our sins. And now we can believe on that propitiation to be justified. Why did God do it this way? That he might be just. Why did God do it this way? That he might stay in the sandbox of justice, that he might stay within the perimeters of justice, that he might stay within the confines of justice and never go outside those bounds. That's what Romans 3 says, of course, in a paraphrase. That he might be just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. That's why faith is necessary, because it's the only just way for people that don't deserve these things on their own merit to receive from God. So I would really encourage you to get Wednesday's message, though, because that'll go into a little bit more depth, but I feel like this is a good follow-up to just have clarified what we were talking about, okay? But I would really encourage you to get Wednesday's message.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.